I have preached this text after pastoring since Moby Dick was a minnow. And I've never preached it the way I'm preaching it today. Because there's stuff in here that we have taken and think God's telling us this and God's telling us something else. And I really believe that Friday and Saturday and early this morning, I got a different picture. And I want to just bring that to you. I want you to chew on it. I want you to think about it. And then we're going to close with talking about infiltrating every area of our nation with Christians. I'm talking about occupations. I'm talking about politics. I'm talking about government, because for some reason, the church for years was taught that politics are sinful. You know, you stay out of them. Church and state don't mix, but Jesus and people do.
Amen.
Well, I want you to think about that. And so where the light hasn't gone, the darkness has consumed. I want you to think about that. Where the Christians have avoided, where we've said we're just not getting involved in government, we're not getting involved in media, we're not getting involved in this occupation or that area, we're not getting involved in this or that or something else, what we've done is we've surrendered that territory to the enemy. And I want to tell you something. Satan's like the government. He'll mess up whatever it touches.
Yep. Amen.
That's right. I didn't. I'll let you think on that for a while. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm going to tell you what started me thinking about this, and then Kirk handed me a book that I read this week, last couple of days. At our last men's retreat, there was a man from Bemidji there whose God is calling to be mayor of that city. And we talked, and I was just up in Bemidji, and we talked some more. Should I do this? And I believe that this man has the potential within the state of Minnesota to be the governor. And some former political leaders are coming to him and saying, can you come and see a transformation in our community? And so we prayed and we asked. And I believe in the next few days he'll be announcing, if he hasn't already announced, that he's running for mayor. When the righteous are in authority, what do the people do?
Rejoice.
They rejoice.
Amen.
When the righteous are not in any place in authority, anywhere, things fall apart.
That's right.
And all you have to do is watch the nation of Israel. When the godly king came in, or when the evil king came in, all different kinds of things happen. Anyway, you can go home now. I'm done preaching. Romans 12, 1. Who can quote it for me? I can't hear you. I beseech you, brethren and sistern, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, or some of your translations will say your spiritual worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, there's something that struck Paul here. Because when you take the word beseech, and some of your translations may say urge, but as you break that word down, it means to passionately plead. It comes to a place of urging, exhorting, encouraging. We've heard that word. So Paul is passionately talking to the Romans and saying, I want you, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, please, don't think sin right now. Whenever you hear that, somebody talk about, well, you got to quit sinning. That's not what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about by the compassion that God has shown you, by the love that God has responded to you with, by the very compassion of Christ hanging on the cross. I want to encourage you. I want to passionately exhort you that you give your bodies to Christ. And I'm going to add something there. For whatever he wants to do with them. Love the way you're shouting. Because you know something? The church had become very casual. The church has come to a place where we have lost a zeal to absolutely, radically do what God has called us to do. It's like somebody said, we used to stand on the promises and now we're sitting on the premises. And so we have come to a place of looking at things, and like I told the people on Wednesday night, because we just went through an introduction of this, we have either become so discouraged we've given up, or we've just come to a place where we feel that nothing's going to make a difference and it doesn't matter how I do it. But God is definitely calling his people to rise up. Do we realize every time that Israel went into sin, God had somebody to stand up, whether it was a prophet, a prophetess, or a king, that would call the people back. Get back to what they were. And so God is calling us unreservedly to come to a place and yield our bodies, our minds to him as a living sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
Not dead. Not staying at the cross where Jesus died, but moving out and infiltrating areas of our country, our community, our state, and our city for Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's not going in and blowing things up. It's coming in and fixing some broken things. As God gives us wisdom and power and understanding, we see things. And you know, years ago I saw it happen as a young pastor. There was a man by the name of Jim Bingo who was an electronics engineer working in the taconite plants. And they ordered all these crushers. Taconite is a low-grade iron in a rock. They smash the rock and get the taconite out, be low grade. They'd put them through a crusher and the things would be crushed. They got all these new things set up for the crushers to work. Multi-millions of dollars back in the 70s. And they wouldn't work. They couldn't get them on. And Jim had come to church. Jim and his wife Judy had accepted Christ. They were working with us in leadership. One night he's sleeping. Because there was a massive frustration. They called the company. The company couldn't figure it out. And so during a dream one night, God showed him a ground wire that was missing. Never came with the machines, never came. He went in the next day, said, here's what we do. He put in the ground wire, flipped the switch, and everything ran. They called that wire after his name, by the way. A man of God, who God gave divine wisdom to step into an area that saved a company, multiplied millions of dollars, and implemented things more efficiently. Present our bodies. By the mercies of God, by the compassion, going into areas that we're unfamiliar with, being led by the Holy Spirit, God having designed a plan for our lives to work in places where we can encourage people that there still is a God. There's a God who can fix the broken things and repair the things that are falling apart. And we can stand for Jesus. Even if nobody else gets saved, they are seeing Christ in action. And it's amazing. Barb does it every Monday. She comes in here to us heathens. Infiltrating. But we come to a place where we present God and give God an opportunity in our lives to see change. The compassion, the mercy of Jesus Christ. Because worship is more than just singing. A major part of worship is just standing in the presence of God and glorifying Him. But it's also found in our giving. It's also found in our labors. That's worship. We're worshiping God as living sacrifices. Because I believe everything about God is about life.
Yes,
amen. It's about life. And be not conformed to this world. Don't let your life be designed and fashioned by the world around you. Don't let people's ideas and concepts and lack of principles or teachings, don't that be what you conform your life to. Let the Spirit of God, and the Bible says, be transformed. That word transform actually means to be transfigured. How many realize what happened to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? That actually comes to a place where the Spirit of God is transfiguring us by renewing our minds. And let's just say it, we're glowing with Jesus. Okay, here we go. I'm going to get my notes because some of this stuff is way beyond me, like turning the page. There are seven areas that Lance Wanu calls seven mountain mandates. And we've talked about them Wednesday night. But most of you weren't here. The seven areas that believers need to infiltrate or get involved in. Church? How many realize most churches are broken?
Yes.
Family? Anybody have any problem with our educational systems in America? Government and law? Media, television, radio, newspaper, and internet? Arts and sports? Commerce, science, and technology? There's one area that believers get involved in, basically, and that's the church. Now, there are boards for, I was talking to Andy, he's on a Senex board. We need people on those boards. We need people on school boards. We need people in government, law, all kinds of things. We've backed away from a lot of stuff. And what has happened? What we've backed away from, Satan has infiltrated.
Yes.
Education. I read this, and Kirk was talking to me about it, so I just had to make sure he was right. Colleges began with 230 colleges and universities in America, all started basically by Christian people for Christian values and for the purpose of making pastors. The first 230. Where have they gone? Harvard? Yale? What has happened? These colleges that started no longer believe in God. And people have backed away. Well, you know, get persecuted. I go in there, they're too liberal. Seemed like Jesus went into the teeth of the Pharisees. And so we look at things, and what I want to encourage you this morning, I just want you to encourage God and ingrain into your children, it's not bad to be a professional. Hello? Well, my kid's not going to Bible school, and my kid's not doing this, and my kid's not doing that. Let God lead them. Amen?
Amen.
Let them go into places that the enemy is trying to absolutely run and become leaders. And they call the fact that every one of these mountain things we're talking about has a king. Every one has a leader. Just think in these seven main areas if every leader was a believer. I want you to think about it. If every area of these seven mountain mandates, if leaders were Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, living for God, what would our country be like? You know, we're struggling, forgive me now, I'm talking to my group. We're struggling with pastors who don't believe in God. And don't believe the Bible. How'd that happen? Huh? What in the world happened where we have preachers of the cloth standing up in their fancy robes and they don't believe in the God that they're trying to talk to people about? And that's okay in America. God help me. You have absolutely been called by God to be life changers.
Yes, sir.
And business changers and government changers. You have within you the power of God to fix the things that are broken because He knows. He has the answer. He knows how to deal with these things. He knows where to go. And if you're working in the supermarket, be for Jesus in the supermarket. Doesn't mean you have to sit people down and preach to them every day. It just simply means that your light is shining, and when they have a problem, they know where to go to because you know somebody who can fix it.
Amen.
I believe it. I believe there should be a Christian man at the head of John Deere. Or Dear John, whichever way you want to go. Or Ford Tractors, or New Holland, I think I saw. Is New Holland still around, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, there need to be men in that area. There need to be men at the head of the South Dakota wheat growers, and corn growers, and soybean growers. There need to be men and women of good stature running for Senate, and running for Congress, and running for governor,
yes,
and running for mayor.
Yes.
And we need to just step into that. And we need to start somewhere, okay? We need to start somewhere. We've just kind of thrown up our hands and say, well, if they're not for abortion, they must be okay. Hello? Or if they don't believe God put Adam and Steve in the garden, we can vote for them.
Stand for nothing.
If you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. You got another point. I'm running out of material. So here's where we start. Now, the first thing I'm going to tell you, everybody can start at. And you may say, what? This is for you. For some of you, God's going to call into these areas. Some are already there. And I thank God for that. You may say, why am I here? Why am I doing this? You're there for a divine purpose from God, yes, designed to bring life and healing into the areas where God is leading you.
It
may not be comfortable, but God never said we'd be comfortable. Angie. First thing we do, we need to pray intercession with the power of the Holy Spirit through the mighty weapons available to us in spiritual warfare, involving the pulling down of strongholds, of false reasoning, and pray against the enemy and their influence. Because every person in these high places, working in these areas, if they're not serving God, have a demonic oppression or force trying them to tear everything down.
That's right.
We don't like to say that. And if you're a leader in these areas and you're listening to this on the radio, we want to break any demonic force that's leading you astray. Every king that isn't ordained and put in that position by God and serving Jesus Christ has an attack demon that's trying to get him to go as far as he can the wrong way and let the darkness roll. But there's one thing we all can do, and we did it Wednesday night. We can all pray. We can all pray that God will infiltrate these, and people will be willing to be used by God to infiltrate these areas and tear down strongholds. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, false reasonings.
Yes.
Amen. It may seem a little heavy, but it's true. We're never going to lose the war because God wins, but we're losing battles after battle after battle because we're not involved. Amen?
Amen.
We know who wins, but how many are going to go to hell before the win is complete? And how many things are going to be destroyed? I believe you love God. I believe that with everything within me. But I believe sometimes we just sit on the sideline watching and not even praying because we've prayed before and we've thrown up our hands and we said, what's the use? You know, things are getting worse. Things are falling apart. Maybe things are falling apart in some areas because God's designing some things to fall apart so new blood can get in there.
Yes. Yes.
Come on. You ever think about that? Maybe God has ordained that some things have to crash with our government and with our leadership so new blood can get in there, new people of God can get in there, a new power can get in there, and we can rise up together in the kingdom of God, rejoicing in Jesus Christ because of what he wants to do. I believe it. And I believe that's why Kirk was mentioning encourage. I want to encourage you to take a step. I want to encourage you to get involved. Whether or not it's just prayer to start with, or God lays on your heart, and you say, well, I'm too old to apply for that job. Who told you that? You're listening to the wrong voice already. Caleb was 85 when he took on the Giants. Not the New York ones either. There's something going to change in this country, and I don't mean to be prophetic. But people are going to start hiring people with work skills, even if they may be older, because they'll come to work. Come on. There's hope for you, Bob. And so God is beseeching us. God is beseeching us. He's urging us. He's encouraging us. He's blessing us. He's anointing us. Stand up to the plate. Step in by my mercies and my compassion, because I want to have mercy and compassion on those kings over these mountain mandates. I want to bless them, and you're the blessing going to them. Amen?
Amen.
Can you believe that?
Yes, sir.
Second point of that is this, simply this. After we've prayed for a specific sphere of influence, education, family, government, whatever, God may choose you and use us in the very sphere, mountain, for which we have been praying. He may call us to penetrate the darkness and infiltrate a place for him. It gets me thinking. How many of you are lights of the world? Where does light need to go? Into darkness. You know, if this room is all bright and we turn on the lights, it doesn't mean anything. But if this room was full of darkness, we turned on the lights, you can see. And so we begin praying. We begin praying together. We begin praying separately. We begin interceding. We begin asking God. Remember the verse, pray the Lord of the harvest that he does what? Send forth laborers into what? His harvest. Curtis, how much corn have you harvested in your living room? To harvest, you have to get to the field. I want you to think about that. To harvest, we have to get to the field. To milk the cows, the girls have to get to the barn. Every morning, Curtis says, I beseech you, my beloved, go to the barn. And so we come to a place of realizing if I'm going to harvest the crop, I have to get where the crop is. You know, I've been here about 34 years, 33 years? My wife is historical. And you know, I've never seen the crop really infiltrating the church. You follow me? You open the doors on Sunday, they're not necessarily beating it down to get in here. But when you go where the crop is, and I'm not minimizing people, please don't misunderstand me. When you go where the corn or the wheat or the oats or the beans are, and you put a combine in there in October, you're going to get a harvest. We've been opening the doors and hoping the crop would come here, but it doesn't work that way. We bring Christ into the areas of darkness. And we begin praying. We begin interceding. We begin tearing things down, building things up, just like God told Jeremiah. He said, I've called you to tear down and destroy and to build up. And there are things that by going in these areas are going to collapse, but God has a purpose and the collapse is going to be rebuilt. Amen?
Amen.
And you're part of that. We have access to God who can fix the broken parts. And that's his desire. And that's his goal. And that's his plan. So my prayer for us is that every one of us would just simply ask God, as you begin praying for government, for education, for media, for schools, for families, for churches, for sports and arts, for all this stuff we've talked about, as we start praying that it would be infiltrated by the Holy Spirit, that God would lay on our hearts what he wants us to do. Does he want us to go into that field? Do we know somebody going in that field we need to see except Christ? The hopelessness of the country is that nothing seems to change. You are changers. You are people of change. You've been called and anointed by God to bring change. The only thing we have to do now is say, God, here am I, send me. Amen.